The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. I've got a real treat for you. I have brought Miss Magdalena. Magdalena is the founder of the Popular Hormone Balance online community, a holistic nutrition coach, and knows the value of cooking for hormone balance firsthand. She developed hyperthyroidism and then Hashimoto's, something many of you have dealt with, adrenal fatigue and estrogen dominance, all of which propelled her to leave a high-pressured advertising career and develop a new way of eating that would repair and keep her hormones working smoothly. Now she's symptom-free, and Magdalena shares her practical, proven knowledge so other women can benefit as well. In cooking for hormone balance, she draws on current research to explain the essential role food plays in keeping our hormones in harmony and offers easy, flavorful recipes to help us eat our way to good health. Welcome to the show, Magdalena.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Thank you.
Well, this is a topic, as we were just saying, that I love. I believe food is powerful. I believe food is medicine. I believe that there's so much we can do to take some of our hormone changes and fluctuations into our own hands. I know this story firsthand when my entire journey became really a story about me being gluten-free and not getting the right nutrients in. So I'm excited that you have chosen to focus on cooking and using food for hormone balance. Tell us a little bit about how maybe that played into your Hashimoto's and your adrenal fatigue and even the estrogen dominance that I mentioned. How did food work for you, and what got you into advertising?
Yeah, you know, and first of all, I just want to say I'm so excited to get on your show, because as an MD, talking about food is such a noble and incredible.
Well, I hope that's not true forever. My goal is that more of us start talking about it. I still get ticked off to this day when people are like, oh, well, my doctor said food has nothing to do with this. That is archaic,
right,
and
right,
quite outdated. And hopefully we won't have to be surprised by that in the next few years. But anyhow, I'll let you continue.
Yeah. You know, so you asked about how I came to that realization. I think the biggest moment for me came when I was in my late 20s and I suffered from severe cystic acne. And that was like the most visible, painful symptom. What I also had, which I just grew to believe that was normal, I had terrible PMSs. I had constant yeast infections like candida. I had sinus infections, which, as you know, go often hand in hand with the yeast problems. So sinus, ear infections, and it was the cystic acne that started, put me in a direction to study looking for a solution, thinking I am a young adult. I'm not a teenager anymore. Why am I covered in cystic acne? Not just my face, but my back, my chest. And I came across an article, and this is, mind you, this is like 25 years ago, right? Where that kind of idea that food can have something to do with the quality of your skin was absolutely, it was really quite a revolutionary. And I remember taking out gluten, and then later I did some blood tests, and it showed up eggs and dairy, which was the three foods I was pretty much living on, right, as a typical Western young adult.
Right.
And I took out these foods, and I experienced such profound changes. My skin cleared out. My PMSs went away. The migraines that I had constantly went away. You know, I always had a bloat, I looked like a four months pregnant woman after having a latte or having a bowl of pasta. And all of that suddenly started going away, not to mention the surge of energy. And this is really what I think put that on the map, that food can play a huge role. You know, what I didn't do, like most 20-year-olds, I didn't stick to it. And I went on with my life to a very stressful
job. So how old were you? How old were you when you first found the eggs and the dairy as the cause of the bloat and all that other stuff? You were in your early 20s?
I was like 20, I think I was 23, 24.
23, okay, gotcha. Okay, so you find it, you do it, you move on. What happens next?
You know, I had a fantastic job as a regional strategy planner for an advertising agency working on all the, you know, big brands like Nike and Neutrogena and the whole Johnson & Johnson family and Volkswagen. And, you know, those are iconic brands that, as a planner,
right,
when you get on those brands, it's such a huge recognition. And I was fueled by that kind of validation that I was getting, how fantastic I was and what I was doing. The price I was paying for it was that I was constantly on airplanes. I was living off hotel food and airplane food. I was stressed out, but yet I didn't, you know, I was always a very physically active person. So I'll get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, hit the gym while I was working until 9 p.m., you know, the same day, living off caffeine. You know, I used to drink and party a lot. I used to smoke, right? And so, you know, it was just that negligence on my part, which, you know, I used to joke and say, I will sleep when I die. Like, you know, sleep is for the dead, right?
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, my adrenals were fried. You know? I mean, today when I think about it, it's like, oh my gosh, what were you doing?
Yeah.
But this is when, you know, in 2008, finally my body responded, you know, and said enough. I started feeling, I started having anxiety attacks, which is totally not my personality. I'm cool as a cucumber, and, you know, I'm very positive. It suddenly started getting really depressed, really dark thoughts coming upon me, you know, anxiety, and just that fatigue that I could not get my day started without like 2-3 espressos, right?
Right.
And that's when I went to see an endo, and, you know, very luckily I got so quickly diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease in 2008, only because I already had a history of thyroid. So she, you know, she kind of knew that history part. Unlike so many women who go, as you know, undiagnosed for decades with thyroid issues. So that was the lucky part. The bad news was that in 2008, we really had almost no information about what to do with autoimmunity. So, you know, this was a 10-year project of really taking the layers off one after the other, meaning giving up my job in China, getting the hell out of, you know, polluted Shanghai, and just, you know, and not knowing what you're putting in your body, and getting rid of all the toxicity in terms of toxic clients, toxic environment, right, smoking. And I moved to the United States. I went to nutrition school. And, you know, and really started healing my body. And a diet, of course, changes in diet was one of the most profound changes that I made. And my body just started responding to it so quickly, just loving it. Getting off gluten, getting off dairy, you know, getting up, stopping to drink as much, I stopped smoking, started doing detoxes, working a lot on my liver, you know, and all of that paid off so much so that a decade later, as a 45-year-old woman today, I feel better than I felt when I was 25, you know.
That's so funny. Our stories mirror each other so much. I mean, I also got on my journey in my mid-20s, late 20s, after honestly getting sick, and same high pressure, high roller coaster, you know, night shifts, day shifts, weekend shifts, all that craziness for years in the process of becoming a doctor and then being an emergency room doctor. So it's funny. And wow. I'm also in my 40s now, and I feel amazing. I'm still pretty go, 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 and still do a lot of stuff. But because I feel like I know how to take care of myself, I'm able to sustain that journey and also check out, you know, more frequently when I need to. Because again, I can listen to myself and hear those cues. And that's really what I want for everybody else out there. What, you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking here, you know, for those of us who are still on airplanes and who are still a little bit in that go-go lifestyle and are not really ready to give everything up, but still want to cook and still want to nurture ourselves, what are some tips you give for somebody like that when we know the importance of cooking and getting into the kitchen for so many different things, including hormone balance? What's an easy couple of tips you can give us?
Yeah, but that's a really brilliant question, because we are not asking anybody to stop what you're doing, right? You know, and I'll be honest with you, I'm in the middle of a book launch tour right now, right?
So,
you know, I've been doing 12, 14-hour days, and this is just the tour, but, you know, there's been like 3-4 months of preparations before that, right? So I'm feeling pretty fried. But there is that balance that you want to strike. And so one of the things, like what you said, is a little bit like, you know, when the glass is full, right, it's like if you can open the tap at the bottom and just let some of that, like, you know, like a beer thing, you have the tap at the bottom, just let some of it out, right, while the thing's being topped up. It's just really about striking that balance so you don't overflow. And, in you know, a couple of things that I found are super helpful. One is that when there is stressful time like that, is minimizing alcohol as much as possible.
Yes, right? Thank you. Oh my gosh, I wish I could hug you right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't think women understand how damaging alcohol is for our liver, for our gut,
especially
for our hormones.
At night, right? Like when you go to bed, and, you know, it's all on your liver to having to process all of that. So I found that getting off alcohol or just minimizing alcohol, if you're doing alcohol, then have it with a meal and not on empty stomach and not like close to going to bed. It really is helpful. The other thing is, you know, really, like, this is counterintuitive, but not living off coffee, especially having caffeine first thing in the morning on an empty stomach before putting anything in our stomach, that actually really burns out your, you know, it just sends your adrenals in such a surge that you're going to pay the price at 11 o'clock. You're going to need another cup of coffee, and at 4 o'clock, you're going to be absolutely exhausted. So minimizing caffeine actually might really help out to even out the energy, or switching to, I personally stop drinking coffee. I do matcha, M-A-T-C-H-A. So that's a wonderful ceremonial Japanese tea that gives you caffeine. It does give you caffeine, but it does not give you that kind of, you know, quick surge of energy the way coffee does. But after coffee, a lot of people drop, right? And then they need something else to pick them up, which is another cup of coffee or sugar. When matcha keeps you focused and, you know, and energized through a period of 4 to 5 hours. You know, another one, which is a huge thing, I feel, is, and I'm wondering what you think about that, is whenever I travel, I try not to do hotel rooms. I do Airbnb with a little, at least with a kitchenette or access to a kitchen, and I make my own breakfast. And so whether it's a smoothie or, you know, with my cookbook, one of the most popular recipes that has really transformed thousands of lives is called the Farmer's Wife's Breakfast. And really what it is, it takes just a quick trip to Whole Foods, you know, Trader Joe, whatever is around the place you're traveling, or even get it delivered. You know, so many places now deliver. And, you know, really what it is a bed of greens. So I love to use arugula because it's a cruciferous vegetable that helps you with your liver and detoxifying us from hormones. So a bed of arugula with a little bit of sauerkraut on the side, some kind of a piece of protein. So when I travel, I will typically get things like a smoked salmon, right? So this protein there. And a piece of avocado, sprinkle all of that with some olive oil, drizzle it with, you know, lemon juice, right? And it's just, it's such a complete meal that will satisfy you. There's no sugar in there. It will energize you throughout the day. You know, that's one of the things that I see is that my energy levels are so different when, you know, once in a while I give into the idea of having a pancake in the morning, right? The carbohydrates really drain you of energy so quickly. And 11 o'clock, we feel tired again. You know, we need another cup of coffee to pick us up. When you do a savory kind of a breakfast, it will just do absolute magic. You don't crave sugar anymore. It gives you a lot more energy throughout the day. So that's one of my biggest things, is not to give in to a traditional breakfast. Because most places you go to, right, it's like oatmeal seems to be like the only healthy thing on it.
I hate eating breakfast.
But even comes with a lot of sweet, you know, dried fruit in it and maple syrup, right? All of that, you add this all up, there's a lot of carbohydrates. And my trick with breakfast is to do a lot of protein, fat, and fiber. And that is just an absolute, it's magical.
I think these are such great tips, because I promise you, I'm like a nightmare to travel with. My husband gets over it too. I travel a lot for work, but even with the family, it's like, we can't ever go to a breakfast place and make you happy. You're really tough to please. And it's just for that reason. It's like, I don't necessarily want a lot of egg. I don't necessarily want flour. And if you rule out egg and flour and then maybe even dairy, you're not left with much conventionally when you're trying to look for a good breakfast. But I hope everybody out there caught those. I'm always trying to catch these pearls out of all these amazing people that come on the show. But I know a lot of people listening today are very much like me. We're on planes. We're trying to get things done. We have families. We're moving. We're running. We're doing all the things we do, and our power gets drained. And the reason I call the show Your Power RX is because I hope you're taking every episode something from here to really help you regain your power. And here's some great tips. If you're traveling, cut the alcohol. Alcohol clogs the liver. It drains your energy. It interrupts your sleep. Switch from coffee to matcha. What a great idea. I'm going to start doing that a little bit more often too, because coffee again gives you those adrenaline spikes and drops and insulin spikes and drops that trigger inflammation. And last but not least, I mean, this is something I have learned today from you, but why not Airbnbs, where we can control that first meal of the day that's so critical, our breakfast, and it really sets the tone for the entire day and will determine our energy moving forward. More with my guest coming up, but right now I want to tell you about Grove Collaborative, products for a beautiful and healthy home. You guys have heard me talk about your toxic load and how important it is to pay attention to what we're using on our bodies and in our home. It directly impacts our health. Grove Collaborative makes it easy to discover amazing natural home and personal care products. Grove selects only the best non-toxic products so you can shop with confidence, knowing that everything on their site is good for you, your family, and the planet. I want you to try Grove Collaborative. So right now, when you spend $20 or more on your first order, you'll get a free $30 Mrs. Meyers kit, plus a bonus gift, plus a free 2-month VIP trial membership. The bonus gift is a tea towel. Go to grove.co/wholehealth to claim your special offer. That's grove.co, not grove.com, grove.co/wholehealth to get the special offer. Magdalena, tell us a little bit. I talk about this a lot in the practice and even nationally, but talk to us about your perspective on food and hormones. How do you think food, the connection between food and hormone exists? Why is it so important? Talk to us a little bit about that.
So I think the biggest, the moment of epiphany came to me about 7 years ago, and I was already doing a lot of work around the thyroid, and I put my own Hashimoto's into a total remission, and that was all done through the work on my digestion, right? So that took care of that. But then I started having weird symptoms in the form of hair loss, which wasn't thyroid-related, and having lumps on my boob. And I thought, I'm eating so healthy, I'm totally organic, I'm teaching this stuff, and here I am, like my PMS started getting really bad and started having water retention. So classical, symptoms of estrogen dominance. Mm-hmm. And when I did a test with my doc, she said, she confirmed it. And so the first thing I did is I started searching, and I came across so much of the research that showed the connection between our liver and, for example, estrogen. But then I realized later that the liver is so vital in rebalancing all our hormones, not just the estrogen. But that was the moment when I thought, I'm just going to experiment and just incorporate a couple of tablespoons of freshly ground flaxseed into my diet. I'm going to do this for 2 months and see what happens with my, because I love to experiment on myself, right? Like instead of doing 10 things and not knowing what exactly has helped me, I thought I'm just going to do the flaxseed for 2 months and see that those lumps disappear. And guess what? They did.
Wow.
And so that was a big aha moment for me. And I started asking myself, is it really after the hormones that we have to go after? Than the symptoms, or is it something else that governs good hormonal balance? And over the years, I've formulated, a methodology, which I call the three-legged stool analogy. And the idea is that, to sit comfortably on a three-legged stool, right, all the legs need to be firmly in place. And this analogy applies to hormones as well. And those three bodily systems, in the case of hormones, would be the health of your digestion, the health of your liver, and how well you're detoxifying, and your sugar balance. Right. When these three things are taken care of, we don't even need to address things like, like how a lot of women go, I got PMSs or I can't get pregnant. Right. Let me experiment maybe with maca or, let me do black cohosh if I have hot flashes. Right.
Right.
What about doing ashwagandha when I have adrenal fatigue? And all of those can be great. But a lot of women also realize that do that for 3 months, 6 months, maybe a year, and then it stops working. And that was fascinating for me. And this is the reason why I started doing this work. And I realized it isn't about the maca. It isn't about the black cohosh. It isn't about the ashwagandha. What it is really about is that when you fix your gut, get your liver really cleaned up and, balance your sugar levels, the same, starting off with a really good breakfast, the one we talked about, you don't even need to consider a lot of other, those add-ons, those point solutions, if you will, for specific symptoms, because things will just start feeling so much better. PMS will start going away. Boob lumps, the lumps in our boobs will start disappearing. We have a lot more energy. Our thyroid starts regulating. We talked about it before the show. You said almost everybody on your show is, has some level of problems with the thyroid or knows somebody who's got a Hashimoto's or thyroid issues, right? Well, those are autoimmune diseases. You've got to take care of your gut, right? And it's killing me when people go like, oh, these are the three supplements that you're going to take for thyroid. It's like, well, hello, when you are still doing gluten and dairy and, you've got all these infections going on. These three supplements aren't going to help you. You're just spending $200 a month on this.
Right. Well, and I have to say, just in practice too, like I have, I'm almost a decade into the practice and I've done loops with some patients, like where we have done that, right? We've changed different supplements, we've changed different herbs, we've switched around thyroid medications like 5 times. And at the end of the day, it was the resistance to make the dietary changes that were the block from making anything truly 100% successful for a long time. And when those dietary changes were made, then people got their regimens down just a couple of key things, almost like me. I have like 3 things I need to do consistently to feel good and stay well. And I'm able to get my patients to that point too. So that's why, I'm such a believer in the power of food and gut and liver. And these, again, are constantly concepts we're talking about, but the amazing thing to me is that Eastern systems of medicine, Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, they talked about those things 5,000 years ago. They already knew this stuff. So, you know, from a medical and scientific standpoint, we're just beginning to play catch up. What are your three favorite hormone balancing foods? If someone was like, okay, I'm in, I believe you, food is related to hormone health and it's important, but I still need the top three things to take in every day. What would you tell them?
So my first one, big go-to is ground flaxseed, freshly ground, and I want to emphasize the word freshly ground flaxseed for a couple of reasons. Number one is that it's a phenomenal source of fiber, and we want to have a good bowel movement. If you want to have a good hormonal balance, you've got to have a good bowel movement. Women who are constipated, all the toxins are re-entering your body, including the metabolized hormones that are harmful. So getting your bowels to move every day is super important. So you, not only not to have constipation, but it's to feel light, to feel energized, and to be for your body to be able to produce new hormones, so you feel phenomenal. So that's the fiber source. But more importantly than that, flaxseed is a, it's a natural phytoestrogen, right? So it gives us a small amount of estrogens that are good for us. But it also, the beauty of that food is almost like, I want to call it an adaptogen in some way, because it helps us to bring estrogen up so we feel better. Our skin is plumper, right? We get regular periods. But on the other hand, it also detoxifies us from those harmful estrogens, those estrogens that are causing those breast lumps and endometriosis and fibroids and infertility issues and miscarriages and thyroid nodules, breast estrogen receptor positive breast cancer, are due to estrogen, that the bad estrogens that I'm talking about. And flaxseed is just such a wonderful food in terms of helping us to strike that balance with estrogen. But also, when you rebalance your estrogen levels, there's going to be more thyroid hormone available for the body. There's this interesting thing that happens when women suffer from estrogen issues. We increase the thyroid binding globulin. So that protein attaches itself to the thyroid hormone, hence making it less available for the body to utilize. And that's what can cause a lot of weight gain and fatigue. And I'm sure there's a lot of other things your listeners already know about what thyroid is connected to. So flaxseed is my absolute darling.
So that's your number one, ground flaxseed, freshly ground flaxseed. Number two?
Number two will be, the family of the cruciferous vegetables, also known as a brassica family or cabbage family. So bring on those kales and collard greens and cauliflower and broccoli sprouts, arugula, my personal favorite. And what I love about them is a couple of things. One is that they are huge in supporting the liver. So they are slightly bitter. They also contain sulfur. All of those things are essential in keeping your liver nice and clean and help us metabolize hormones. But also they are high in a substance called DIM, dialdenomethane, which is a natural estrogen detoxifier as well. And so, having just, when I work with women, using just 3 to 4 cups a day, whether it's steamed or in form of salads, however you want to add them in, just don't overcook it like the way grandma used to do. Lightly steamed or lightly sautéed, it can create a really profound difference in how much energy we have and getting rid of all the symptoms I talked about. The third one, why don't I give you a couple of foods ideas and then you tell me which one you want me to talk about, because I have so many.
Okay, got it. There are so many I
could talk about. So the list is, on the list we have things like broccoli sprouts, pomegranate, liver, bone broth, cacao, dandelion leaf or dandelion root, maca.
What's your favorite? They're all good. Do you have a favorite? And I'm thinking about accessibility too. I'm curious about liver. Let's come back to that one. But I'm thinking the most accessible and the easiest maybe. Let's talk about maybe bone broth and dandelion greens. Let's talk about those two.
Sure. So bone broth, I think a lot of us already know the benefits of bone broth, right? What I want to just add is, and that's what I have in my cookbook, is really amplifying bone broth by adding even more great stuff to it. So one of the things I love about bone broth is, not just the fact that it's great sources of collagen, and which is really going to help us with the quality of our skin, so plump up the skin, help with hair growth, with the quality of our nails, right? But also, it's got something called glycine, which is an amino acid that's like a glue for all our joints in the body. So for those ladies who are in a lot of pain a lot of the time, adding bone broth you know, can really release a lot of that inflammation. But I like to take it a step further and, you know, add things that can really that are not easy to cook with in Western cuisine, but then adding a lot of good stuff to it. So, for example, adding kelp, K-E-L-P, right? Kelp is a form of a seaweed that is super high in iodine. And just putting a piece of kelp when you're making the bone broth, right, together with the bones and the veggies and simmering it for 12 to 24 hours and maybe even longer if you want to, it releases a lot of iodine to the bone broth. And what I love about that is that, you know, most women are deficient in iodine. And this is especially true for women who are, I found that older women, like when we go into our 40s and 50s, that's where iodine can be super helpful in helping us dissolve breast lumps. Women who do iodine, like in the form of nutritionally, start feeling so much sharper in their, you know, in their heads. Brain fog starts going away. Energy starts going up, right? We have a lot of receptors for iodine in our breasts, brain cells, ovaries. So it helps us with not only production with estrogen and progesterone, but also helps us to detoxify us from those estrogens that I talked about. So a simple little thing like that, you know, it's not easy for a Westerner to cook with kelp, right? Because we are not, you know, we are not Japanese here, right?
Right, we're not used to it.
And most people don't even know what to do with seaweed. But that's just really one simple way of bringing in that into a bone broth and making it just an absolute superfood.
Absolutely. I love all of those foods. There's so many. Okay, before we run out of time, I want to know what you think about liver. And if you could quickly touch upon seeds, you talk about seed rotation. I'm super curious about those two things, the role of liver in hormone health and the role of seed rotation in hormone health.
Sure. So, you know, livers are, it's a tough topic, right? Because a lot of people are just, is that so people love it or they hate it? And
right.
I think, you know, if you're listening to this and you're hating livers, then I would say it's probably because your parents didn't know how to cook it and give it a chance.
Yes,
so
my mom used to make me eat it. It was terrible. I used to sit there and I was forced to eat it growing up. So I've been afraid to touch it since.
And I'm sure that the way they cooked it wasn't really great. So that's like that's why it was such a chore for you to get it down, right?
Right.
You know, but you know, a lot of people go to France and then they go, "Oh my God, this pâté was amazing!" And hello, pâté is made with liver. And go, seriously, liver pâté is liver? You know, and it's just how you cook it, how you prepare it. So, what I love about liver, you know, is that the look. I mean, we're spending so much money on supplements, and here is this food that is. I'll let you guess. Do you know how much more vitamin B12 there is in a chicken liver as compared to a boring chicken breast?
I'm going to guess it's double.
This is according to USDA's website.
Is it double the amount?
So 234 times more.
No
vitamin
way.
B12.
Wow.
Yeah.
My mom was right.
It's got 40
no.
times more iron. It's got 10 times more zinc, right, which is so essential to our immune system. And we're popping supplements which are, you know, never going to be as absorbable as food is, right? So this is just to give you an example of that's just chicken livers. And, you know, I've got a beautiful recipe for an easy French pâté, and it's converted chicken haters to chicken livers. So the bottom line of this is how does it play into hormones is that if you want to have a good hormonal balance, you need to also give your body sufficient nutrients to produce these hormones, right? And B12, zinc, iron are absolutely essential. So,
yes.
You know, that's about liver. You asked about seed rotation. So seed rotation is a technique that I was told several years ago. And I remember when this naturopath told me about it, I was like, what? You mean you want my patients who are having issues with like serious PMSs and infertility issues or have periods for like 20 days in a month? Like, you want me to do seed rotation? She says, yes, just try. And I have to tell you that I have not ever stopped recommending this method. It's not the only way to deal with the hormones, but it's a wonderful way of, I would say probably 6 out of 10 women find that majority of the symptoms start going away, as in regulating their cycle. PMS is getting better, getting their periods back if they haven't been having them. The idea is to do the first 2 weeks of your cycle. So day one of your period is day one. Into the middle of the cycle. So let's say if your cycle is 28 days, you do 14 days. You want to work on bringing up your estrogen level. And you do that by adding a tablespoon of a ground flaxseed and ground pumpkin seeds. right? And you can add it to your smoothies, to a soup on top of a salad, having a glass of water. It doesn't really matter, right? Just get that in once a day, one tablespoon each. And then around mid-cycle, right? So let's say on day 15, then you want to start, you want to switch to seeds that promote progesterone production. And you do that with the help of sunflower seeds and sesame seeds, one tablespoon ground each again. Same story, smoothie, salads, soups. And the reason why it helps with progesterone production is because they contain zinc and vitamin E, which are essential nutrients for the body to produce progesterone. And that's that. And, you know, give it like, for some women, it's just as quickly as a cycle. For some women, it might take 2 to 3 cycles to really experience the benefits. But I've heard it all from hot flashes going away to sleeping better, acne disappearing. I mean, it's just pretty profound.
It's amazing. That's so amazing. And all of this is in your book, correct? Because your book is out now, or is it about to be released?
It has just been released. So yes, it's available now on Amazon and all the major bookstores.
Fantastic. Well, I am loving these tips, using food as medicine, using food to balance your hormones naturally. Magdalena's book, again, for everyone listening today, is Cooking for Hormone Balance. Go grab it. Go get it. Learn to balance your hormones using food. Take some of these tips that, again, remember, when we say get back in the kitchen, we're not talking 3-course gourmet meals. We're just talking about food for health. And a lot of times it's quick. It's easy. I've learned so much today. Magdalena, thank you so much for your time. I feel like I could talk about this particular topic for probably another 3 episodes, so we may bring you back. But if anyone in the audience is wanting to connect with you or learn more about you, what is their best way to do that?
Head out to my website. It's hormonsbalance.com, and that's where all the content is stored.
Fantastic. Well, everyone out there, remember to find your power, write your own Power RX, use food as medicine, and until next time, thank you and have a great day.